Our first lesson is Numbers 11, beginning at verse 24. Follow along, if you will, in your own Bibles, the pew Bibles, or simply in your hearing, but receive with open hearts the Word of God. Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 elders of the people and placed them all around the tent. That would be the tent of meeting. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And when the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not do so again. Two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad. And the spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent. So they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses, one of his chosen, said, "My lord Moses, stop them." But Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all of the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit on them." And Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. The word of the Lord, my friends.
Thank you.
Our second lesson is from the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And I invite you to join with me here, beginning at verse 3. Paul is really trying to make some points here, and so we'll see if we can follow his points. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed." And no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of services, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discernment of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all of the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. We're here today, friends, to settle the age-old debate that has roiled our nation for more than 125 years. Pepsi or Coca-Cola? Which is better? Oh, you know, it's strange to me that restaurants really only carry one or the other. I don't know, maybe they only want to carry one because of finances, or maybe there's something about they're only allowed to carry one or the other. That's above my pay grade. What I do know is that people who drink soda or pop or soda pop tend to prefer one over the other. You remember those on the street blind taste tests they had in commercials back in the day? Those two drink giants have been slugging it out in the market share of America for many, many years. I'm a Coca-Cola guy, though some Pepsi products are okay every once in a while. Obviously, this whole conversation is ridiculous. It's silly, yes, I know. But I didn't even get into Knee-High or Sunkist. Who cares about either soft drink enough to dwell on them for Sunday worship? And yet, that is exactly Paul's point in 1 Corinthians. And which way can we distinguish ourselves from one another is so precious to us and also so utterly pointless to us as a people. We make distinctions with sports teams, alma maters, children's accomplishments, salary, home, neighborhoods, types of jobs, church attendance, denomination, skin tones, and who knows what else. Even in the church, we make distinction based on appearances and service and singing voice and activity and leadership. Way back in the Greek city of Corinth, those early Christians were throwing the same distinctions around. Oh, they were on fire, but they were also very divided. Instead of sports teams, they were at odds over spiritual teachers. Instead of how far back your family goes in the community, they were divided over whether to eat food sacrificed to idols. Instead of what school you attended, they were conflicted over appropriate ways to deal with adult relationships. Instead of your preferred soft drink, they were contentious about the acts of the Spirit, especially speaking in tongues. This thriving young church in this bustling Greek town was so divided amongst itself that Paul devoted this whole letter to setting them straight. That is what 1 Corinthians is about. He so desperately wanted them to be united in faith, united in service, united in worship, and united in love. But they weren't. They were picking sides, picking teams, picking factions. No one is asking for a cookie-cutter Christian. But we are better when we're together in life and ministry. We're better together. When Moses was stuck under that huge task of leading the people of God through the wilderness, it was clear to some that he could not handle taking care of God's people all by himself. He gathered others who were strong and solid leaders and shared the Spirit that was given to him and to others who were supposed to help but were not with him when this happened. They too received the Spirit. They began speaking divine truths about God. Joshua was so upset that he tried to get Moses to squash them. Joshua sounds like any church person who gets upset when something is different. But Moses' reaction is far more important than it seems. If only, more and more and more people had God's Spirit. The more the merrier. There are plenty of things of which we have a finite amount in the world. There are only so many green jelly beans, only so many great white sharks, only so much gold, only so many fire hydrants. There are also plenty of things in the world that are limitless. No matter how much people give love, there's always more. No matter how much we give compassion, kindness, forgiveness, care, attention, there's always more. We cannot run out of the goodness of giving what God has given to us. Apparently, something else that God has given us is diversity. Now, this may not be the easiest thing to hear, especially as diversity is something of a political buzzword. Just the very mention of diversity kind of makes some people shut down. It must be some liberal plot to force people to be together in unnatural ways. We fight about it in schools and at work and communities, and believe it or not, even in churches. There is no room to fight about this in church. There are three kinds of gifts laid out here in Corinthians 12. Paul uses the particular technical language for these three groups of gifts in this great diversity of gifts. You've heard these words in English as gifts, activities, and services. There are lots of these scattered about and among the people of God, and everyone has something to share. There is more diversity among God's people than we can begin to imagine, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't try. The actual spiritual gifts are things that the Spirit gives that people cannot do without the Spirit. It's easy to see the speaking in tongues business as one of these gifts. These are true God-given abilities that people cannot do without this grace. Working miracles, faith healing, prophecy are all these gifts. And one that I see all around and know is prayer. We all can and should pray, but some seem to be able to pray in especially Spirit-filled ways. No one, though, should get too puffed up with any of these. We have not earned or achieved any of this. Even our very faith is a gift given to us. If the Spirit decided to pull the plug, it would all be an empty show. But when we do invite the Spirit, when we do invite the Spirit, beautiful and wonderful and gracious and worshipful things happen. Hopefully, community happens, since that's the point of all of this. To also help us get there, we have services and activities as things that we can do with or without the Spirit's help, but the Spirit enables us to do these things to help others and to build a community. A service is something like teaching. Obviously, teaching happens all over the place, but Spirit-led teaching is what happens when people offer this gift to the use of God and people are blessed in learning. If you've ever shared in a special Sunday school class, for instance, you have received this gift. I know all of our teachers take this task most seriously and gratefully. I'm so glad to have Sarah, Carolyn, and Marvin as our teachers. Even something as simple as working in the kitchen, friends, can be a Spirit-led service when we tend to the fellowship of God's people. It's such a beautiful thing. There are also activities that the Spirit gives us. Again, these are things that people can do, but the Spirit gives greater ability, direction, and beauty. Singing is one that easily comes to my mind. It's an activity we can all do. I'm not going to say how well, but we can all do it. But when we give that activity to God, we see the gorgeous glory that only God can give. Giving, embracing, spending time in conversation, sending a card, sharing a meal, even playing bridge, yes, can be a Spirit-led blessing for God's children, by God's children. Absolutely love this idea. I love this idea. And I'm excited about how the Holy Spirit of God is moving and working in this very moment, consecrating our gifts, our activities, our services to be a loving expression of God's desire for better life together. Maybe you are one who never saw much value in yourself as an agent for God's holy love, but you are clearly more than called for this task. You are called and equipped. The only trick is being willing to use what God has given you, and that, yes, that is the big hurdle. That is the challenge. All I can say is that there is nothing holding us back from embracing our diversity of blessings in God's Spirit. There's nothing preventing us from rejoicing in life together. The other evening, the choir got together. They finished up early and went down to Three Roads Brewery for dinner and bingo. I was invited to tag along. There was a wonderful diversity of God's children there, just being themselves. We found old friends and new friends. And where we allowed ourselves, we shared in God's Spirit. Something as simple and silly as bingo can be a blessing when it brings the children of God together in a good way. I also learned that Gabrielle is especially blessed with bingo. We all, friends, have more than we can imagine. We can give more than we can imagine. In all kinds of ways, we reflect the infinite diversity of God's love. We have gifts upon gifts, and we can know God's blessing if we will but use them. Sounds like a great day to find the Spirit again. To God be the glory. Amen. Join with me now